Evening, one and all. Yes, another week. 10th already of September. Where is it gone? No wonder people are saying, oh my goodness, there's Christmas stuff already in the shops. It goes so quick these days, doesn't it? And I tell you, as we said, the older you get, it's like a toilet roll. The older you get, the quicker you get through it. And it's true. The older you get, the days just fly by. And I was talking to my guest, because she does shows and stuff like that. And we were saying about the time and how it was through. And, you know, you start getting bookings. And I've cut back. But she's booked till sort of part through next year. It's amazing. Anyway, this is an amazing lady. Because one of the great things about having these shows is, of course, you catch up on old friends. You find out what they've been doing. And this is one of the ones like that. But what can I tell you about my guest? Lots. I don't know where to start. She's over 36 years odd of reading and writing, staff developer for New York Public Schools. 3 master's degrees. A PD and supervision administrator. Member of the Who's Who of American Teachers. And the Who's Who of American Executives. She is an author of, I think, coming up to 14 different titles now, including Children's and another book I want to talk to her about as well. She does 2 radio shows, 2 podcast shows, I think, now. And, well, there is so much more to her. You know, she's been there, done it, got the T-shirt. And 2 T-shirts as well. That's how much she's done. A magazine she's got. I don't know where to start with her. I better introduce her, haven't I? Because on the show today, I have the one and only Fran Lewis. Hi, Fran. How are you doing?
Hi, I am so honored to be here. You just made my whole day better.
Well, I know you've had some issues today, but I'm glad you're better. But it's great to catch up with you. So many things, as I said. And even before the show, we were talking about, you know, doing shows and the guests we've had and stuff like that. And people don't realise, you know, we get booked for these shows up to a year ahead. I mean, you're part through next year, aren't you, booked already for your show?
As a matter of fact, it's amazing because when an author comes on Facebook, very rarely do I look, you know, there, but they'll email me or their publisher said, we have something coming out in January. Can you cover the person?
Yeah.
So I'll say, yeah, I'll review the book. And then 5 minutes later, when can you interview them? I go, okay.
Yeah.
And I usually say, I'm very careful. I usually say I need to read the book first to see if it fits my program.
Right.
Because there are certain titles and certain genre that I won't review at all. So if it's, you know, murder mystery, like me, horror, YA or something like that, mystery thrillers, something that is really great and people need to read, that's fine. But if it's something that I feel that is not my purview,
right,
then I won't review it. Yeah, because I turned down a medical book that I felt I was qualified, but I didn't feel like I could put my name on it.
Yep.
And then there was another book that I said, you know, I read it. I said, I will not review this, nor will I interview the author. As an educator, I couldn't put my name on an interview or a review with something where the people that run the school allow the other people to beat up on kids that are smart.
Wow.
I wouldn't do it, so.
See, unlike me, you actually read most of the books, don't you?
All of them? Page.
Wow, and review. I mean, I don't. I look through the titles. People say, oh my goodness, you get these people. Yeah, internet's a great thing. You can find a lot of stuff in there. And you know, people listening, my show is very loose, very open, and we talk about lots of things. We talk about the person and their book, but in the way we talk of anecdotes about this, that and the other, and it's a bit of a humour and stuff like that. But Fran, she goes in deep into these things. She reads the book and she actually writes reviews on the book as well as on the radio show. I mean, we had Steve Berry, everybody knows, every year he comes on and talks to us. Mike Bond was on a couple of weeks ago and stuff like that. We have regular people come on. But in your case, Fran, you get people you never even heard of and you read their book and then you do a review for them. I mean, that's time consuming.
It's time consuming, but it's my mother's fault.
Uh-huh.
I started to read at a very early age, too early. No, and when I went to school, my mother required, for some crazy reason, I was an A student, she said, I want you to read 5 books a week. I said, but I have 47 hours of homework, whatever.
Yeah.
So I got a series and I learned. I took speed reading, so I could do that too. And she just started. But what happened was, when my mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, I had to retire from teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister, before she died, she said, you look like a big fat couch potato. I weigh 98 pounds now.
Uh-huh.
And she said to me, why don't you write a book? I said, oh, God, no. So I did. I wrote a book about the two of us growing up in the South Bronx. And
uh-huh.
And it was true story. I thought she was going to kill me. And,
she,
and I wrote three of them. And I said, you know, Marcia, you're going to be sorry. And then when she died, I won't say how, it was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I do name my network after her, MJ Network, because she's the one that said,
what?
Why don't you do a radio show? I don't know if you ever met April Robin. April Robbins had Red River Radio, and she dared me to read a chapter of My Name Is Bertha, my first book.
I was on her one of her shows, I think, when I wrote my book, Name Rings a Vague Bell. Yeah.
Yeah. She started me, and then Delaney Oates, who died last year, Delaney taught me how to do it myself.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, and I learned how to do it myself, but then I decided to have my own network, MJ Network. It's much better when it's your own, because then you do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that bothers me about Blog Talk when I get really upset is when the system goes down and it doesn't work, and I have to tell the author. Yeah, that's right. And I did look into other areas, but all of them have studios. I mean, I could do Restream, forget it. But I don't really want to have hair and makeup. Seriously.
Right. Now, I had my show on Blog Talk Radio for some years. I have been on New Visions Radio now for 4 or 5 years, and I have two music shows on here as well.
Nice.
So, you know, and yes, we get issues, but like everything, you know, the internet goes down. The actual radio itself is very, you know, the actual thing is a little front end to Skype, and you know, I use that. It works very good. There was an issue way back with one of the earlier releases that I had, but you know, it's not as detailed as yours. I don't have the visual and that sort of thing. I could do, but nobody wants to see me on the back, what I got on the Warrior Army and stuff like that. You mentioned about your books, because I know that you wrote a book about Alzheimer's, didn't you, to do with your mother when she died. And I love the fact, sharp as a tack and scrambled eggs. Now, my father had Alzheimer's and Parkinson's together and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And my mother, we were just talking to my mother, who's 96. She's as sharp as a tack. She hasn't got Alzheimer's. She is.
Mm-hmm.
And they are. I don't know if you found, but they are sharp as anything. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's like the wires sometimes miss. So sometimes they sort of go off, if you like. The root gets blocked, I found. And then suddenly the whole route goes, and what was there last week as great suddenly is not there. I don't know if you found that.
Yeah, it's like I wrote that book, but you know, I got in trouble for that one.
Did you?
I wrote Sharpest Attack of Scrambled Eggs, What's Your Brain? And somebody emailed me, I don't know who it was, and he said, that title is trademarked. I said, trademarked for what? You have a business that has nothing to do with that. I had a fit. He said to me, I was going to put you through court. I said, go right ahead. Do whatever you want.
Wow.
So I cracked up laughing. I said, what? I said, this is the title of my book.
Uh-huh.
And I said to him, you know what? I'll just write, I'm sharp. I just changed one word and he couldn't do anything about it.
Right.
I was hysterical laughing. I just wrote that because I wanted people to know that it doesn't matter how old you are, people of every age are smart. And I don't even, when somebody asks me my date of birth, I usually forget because I don't remember what that is. And it's none of your business. And I said, you know what? I'm whoever I am, but I'm really smart. I said, you don't want to mess with this girl. But I couldn't believe this. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Fun. Yeah, that was fun. My mom
had
all time. Yeah. And I also wrote a caregiver's guide, too.
Good, because that is very, I mean, I know from my mother has done talks at women's institutes and stuff on Parkinson's and Parkinson's meetings and stuff like that. And there are simple things that you can pass on to care guides. Like, she always made sure my father had a belt on, because she could grab the belt if he started going and sort of thing, you know, and silk satin sheets in the bed to help him move easier and twist round, and one of those rotary things in the car that he could just sit on the seat and turn with it and stuff like that. But simple things. There are not that many books for carers written by people who know. And I think that's a great book from the sound of it.
Yeah, because it was funny. My mom, I had to retire from teaching early, too early. And because my sister was dealing with my niece and nephew in their schools, my brother had three sons in college, I had to do everything. And let me tell you something, dealing with Medicare, Medicaid, home health aides, and having to pay $6,000 a month that I didn't have for her night care was difficult.
Right.
And, yeah, I got the 12 hours, and then what happened was the aide very stupidly let my mother on a street corner to go buy herself for real. And I heard out, and I called up VNS, and I called up the home health care agency. I got 24/7, two split shifts, 12 and 12.
Oh.
And they said that's never been heard of, but up until 2007, I was paying $6,000 a month, $1,500 a week. It was a lot.
Unbelievable.
So when my mother died, I was in debt, $500,000.
Right.
And I said, but somebody said to me, a couple of people said, why don't you just put her in a nursing home? I said, I went to visit 20 nursing homes in the Bronx, every one of them. And when I walked out, I said, unless I really hate her, she was tough on me, I said, I would never do that, ever.
Right.
A million years. Oh, God.
Yeah, my wife's mum and dad were in the house. It was their house.
Yeah.
So, and when I sort of moved in with my now wife, sort of thing, and her father died, and her mother basically lost it after that, and she died about 6 months later. So she was in hospice at home. We were looking at working as hospice people and stuff like that. And there was one night that we thought we heard the door, and we went to the front door, and she was coming back in. She'd got about 3 o'clock, and she got herself dressed. She got out, and she said, "Oh, I wanted to go for a walk," and she'd gone in the garden. I mean, I put a lock on the top, and she couldn't reach after that. But you've got to be on alert all the time, and it's terribly hard to get that. And you know, I don't know if you had the alarms in the bed, you know, that if she moves out of bed the alarm goes off and stuff like that, but there are things that you don't know about, and as from what you're saying now, you went to all these these homes and stuff like that, much as though they try, it's very hard.
I saw them sit with a group of people. They were drugged.
Oh.
And they told them to shut up and sit still, at which point I reported them because I thought
it
was horrible.
Right, yep.
And my mother, like I said, had Alzheimer's. And the fun part is that you have to have a sense of humor because you never know what the heck she was going to say.
Oh, tell us. We've got some stories that we tell people. I won't tell it. Okay, I can tell one on the radio. As you say, you do not know what they're going to say, do you? You don't know what you're going to say. My mother-in-law was in the hospital. She'd had an infection, and she was in the care place after hospital sort of thing. And it's only down the road from us. And we went there to see her while she was coming from this infection sort of thing. And she wanted to go to the bathroom, so we left her with the nurses, and we went out to sort of like the day area, the day room area. Yeah, we're in the place. And the Pines I've been to, I've stayed in. We both of us have been there. We know people who work there. We sing there at Christmas carols and stuff like that. Anyway, nice place, very nice people, sort of thing. But we went in the day room, and this woman comes up on a wheelchair. In her wheelchair, and she sees my wife's got a New York Yankees tattoo on her lower leg, and she says to my wife, she says, "Oh," and she comes up in the wheelchair, and we sort of chat. She says, "Oh," she says, "you got a tattoo," and my wife says, "Yeah, it's a Yankees one. Yeah, I'm a Yankees fan," and she says, "I got a little tattoo as well," and she lifts her nightie up, and she starts to go into her underwear. And
oh my God.
She says, "It's a little mouse." She says, "Oh my goodness." She says, "It's gone." She said, my pussy must have eaten it. And we looked at each other. No, honestly, no holds. We just back.
No, my mother once said to me, she didn't keep it clean all the time. I said to her, Mom, if you're going to use bad language, you're getting a timeout. Don't even go there. But I came in one day before I lost all the weight, and I had a thyroid problem, which I don't think I have anymore. And the medicine caused me to gain weight. But I was losing it. And she walked in and she said, this is her hand. She says, used to be this big. Now, my God, you're this wide. I said, yeah, but last week I was a little wider. And she just, like I said, I weigh 98 pounds now because of all this, whatever, my surgery. But I never knew what she was going to do or say. I mean, one day the aide called me, I fired her because it was her fault. She said, oh, your mother's missing. And then the bakery called me to tell me that she was there. She said she went down to buy bread and she didn't have money. I said, don't worry about it. She comes down with the aide, don't ask for it, I'll pay for it. I didn't know it was a laugh or cry. And my sister would say to me, my sister came on Thursdays before she died.
Right.
And she ran an orthopedic surgeon's office. She was a genius.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even the doctors knew, just listen to what Marcia says, it'll be fine. And she would walk in and my mother would say, the good one's here, you can leave now. And I said to my sister, does that mean I got a day off? She says, no, we're going to go shopping. We're going to take her. I said, have a good time. I looked at her and go, I'm going to escape. I said, she called me a few other things too, my mother. I said, no, I've been called worse. What can I say? But I mean, I had to still teach and everything. And the home health aides I had for the most part were phenomenal. I could trust them. I could leave my pocketbook and not have to worry about anything. They were great. Partners in Care was great. As a matter of fact, some of them are still in touch with me to see how I'm doing. Yesterday was my birthday. I tried to forget that one.
Right.
And I got like 30 people on Facebook, but my mother's aide called me.
Right.
And I thought that was like so cute.
That is. I mean,
it is.
My wife did Companions and Homemakers for like five, 10 years, and we're still in touch with those that are still alive, and we get invited to funerals of those that have passed, unfortunately, you know. And at our age, there's a lot of people in that. I mean, uncles and all of, I think, not this year, last year, year before last, something like that. We had 9 funerals in the first 3 months.
Oh,
you know.
God.
But, you know, it's nice to keep in contact with these people, and some of them shouldn't still be here. You know, but they are, and it's great.
It is. I wish that some of my friends, the people I taught with, have a mixed view on them.
Mm.
And my one friend has ALS, so I'm worried about her because I haven't heard from her. Mm. And some of the teachers actually wish me happy birthday, but, you know, I was really touched because some of the New York Times authors took the time to say happy birthday.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice when they do that,
I said, oh, my God, you remember me? Oh, my God.
What about your own book? Have you just done A Daughter's Promise? Is that a new one you've done recently?
The Mirror Image came out in January, actually.
Right.
And I use Fidelity Publishing. Robin is great. She doesn't do marketing or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a publicist on Facebook. It's Crystal.
Uh-huh.
And she does Royal Plush Publishing, and she's been doing a very good job with my shows and stuff like that. But I don't think Facebook is the right place to get anywhere.
No.
I mean, it's just there. So I put it on LinkedIn. So if I review a book on LinkedIn and I put the view there, I get 100 people that read it.
On LinkedIn, because you get the authors connect you there as well, yeah.
Yeah.
What about your magazine? You said that's MJ Magazine?
I stopped doing it because I couldn't get enough people to do it. And second of all, my publisher said it's like gets complicated. So last year, one of my friends from school died. So we put together a magazine in Jeff's memory.
Mm-hmm.
Because if not for him, I probably wouldn't have made it my first half a day.
Mm.
I mean, yeah. But I miss a lot of people. But I wrote, my name is Bertha. Bertha Speaks Out and Bertha Fights Back were the first 2 books I ever published with a publishing company that I will not discuss. And my name is Bertha is cute. It's my niece did the pictures and stuff.
Oh, but nice.
I know it was. Yeah, she's really talented, Jamie. And it did not get great. It got some great reviews. And one guy said to me, you have, you know, some grammar errors. I said, that's because Bertha's 12. Yeah. I knew they were in there.
Yeah.
They did a really crappy job and whatever. I said, you know what, Spurs is 12, you have to forgive him. Then he gave me five stars because they
like,
said something.
I had a thing in my YA that I got my English book, a teenager ended up having to come to America. A lot of it's to do with the English American and the language and all this sort of stuff and a bully and, you know, school stuff. Anyway, he gets an email from his parents who'd won a trip to Australia and gone to Australia. He gets an email to that. And I wrote the email in English, if you know what I mean, in my English. And I got this thing saying, oh, you've misspelt this word. You've misdone that. You've misdone this. I said, no, that's English. That's the email as it arrived from the parents, sort of thing. And some people understood, but some people still just bite you trying to explain, but they just didn't. They said, oh, it's wrong, you should have edited it out. But why? Because that's how it was.
I agree with you. It's like really weird. I don't know. It's, you know, the one thing I do remember, and they told me, when I was sitting in the hairdresser one day, and when I missed this lady, and she said, you know, mostly kids that will discipline problems.
Yep.
Two grades at a time.
Right.
Little
oh my God! Yeah.
Mess with me.
Yeah, I was gonna say you took it. Yeah, I mean, you.
Yeah, five, six, four, five.
Oh,
three,
no.
Four, five. And the principal gave me all the tough kids. And when the new principals came in, it made it worse.
Uh-huh.
So I went and I got my reading masters, and I said to them, "Now you got to take me out of the classroom, so I could really work with. I love teaching reading."
Uh-huh.
It was 19 years of, and it was really funny because not one reading group in any grade or any class ever complained about coming down. As a matter of fact, there was an incident where two teachers said, I'm suspending the class from reading because they got in trouble, and the kids walked out of the room going, no, you're not, we're coming down anyway. They snuck out.
Wow.
And I said, and then, I mean, you don't know what kind of an impact. All of a sudden, one morning, I'm sitting there trying to have coffee at 6:45 in the morning. A group of five children came in from Nigeria, Liberia, Ghana, all over.
Right.
Uh-huh. And they didn't know me.
Right.
And they sat down and they said, we're here. I go, nice to meet you too. Who are you? What are you doing? How'd you get
exactly,
upstairs?
Exactly.
They looked at me. They said, and one of the fifth graders was outside. I told them to run fast. They said, he said that you are the best reading teacher in the world.
Nice. Yeah.
I said, they're right. So why are you here? Because you're going to teach us to read, and we're not leaving until you teach us to read. This was 7:00 in the morning on a Monday.
Oh my goodness!
I could have gotten them suspended.
Right.
I said, I dare you to take my challenge. I said, and I didn't have any books. I had one. And
right.
I had a chart. I said, in 1 hour, you're going to read 300 words, and you're going to say, I met them, and they did.
Right.
I did my own reading program. At the end of the year, there were 10 of them that came at 7:00 every day. I could not be absent. And they all passed the reading test in grade 5.
Wow.
And the parents said to me, what did you do? I said, I didn't do anything. They came here and told me I had to do it. The staff wall.
Wow.
It was really, I mean, I didn't follow any program that the school had. I did it my own way. If something didn't work, I found something else. If I something and combined it, sight, sound, everything. And it was just like a miracle.
Yeah.
But I never had a group of kids that didn't do better.
Right.
So most of them came in very far behind. And my friends would look at me and go, how do you do that? I said, because I want to do it because I don't have to do anything.
Right. That's wonderful. And I tell you what, this show has been really great. We've covered all sorts of things. And we've had lots of anecdotes and stuff like that. It is such a pleasure to have you on the show, Fran. Really is.
Thank you. You have to come on mine one of these days too.
I will certainly do that. But what I'm going to do now, Fran, is actually hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where people can find more about you and your books and everything. So over to you.
You can find me on Amazon, Kobo, Barnes & Noble, Scribner, just about anywhere where they sell books. And if anybody is listening and they want a copy of my book, feel free to email me, and I would be more than happy to send a PDF or give you a print copy of any one of my books. I started doing this in 2009. And
that's about right. That long ago, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
And if you Google me, which I did the other day, I found out that I'm in a lot more places than I thought. A lot more places than I thought. And yeah, you'd be surprised. And my show's called Book Talk with Fran Lewis. My nephew did it, told me to do that. And I didn't realize how many people are listening.
Yeah. Now, I think we started about the same time. And I think 2008 might have been when I started. I know I've got my lists here, go back to 2009, but I've got a feeling I started in 2008. There's another page I haven't got, but it just shows you, Fran, doesn't it? We've been around a long time.
Well, you know what? I've been around since I think it was 12 when I started doing this.
Right, indeed. Anyway, Fran, thank you so much for being
a
guest
you.
On the show. It's been absolutely wonderful having you here, and really, and good luck, and I'm glad you feel a bit better.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Thank you. Well, what about that? My guest today, wonderful lady, one and only Fran Lewis, author, podcaster, teacher extraordinaire, as you heard, lots of stuff, lots of really interesting stuff about her, and check her up on Amazon, or what's the other thing I found her on, World Castle Publishing and stuff like that. Just look up Fran Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, F-R-A-N, space, L-E-W-I-S, author Fran Lewis is good enough. Anyway, that's it. I'll be back with a fresh guest tomorrow, but until then, we have one thing left to say as normal.